Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, markets. Now, this will obviously go through Friday, too. One thing that I will be doing through today is showing you screens and integrating those screens of stock markets and bond markets into the content of Chapter 2, so that you'll see not just the abstract in text, but you'll also see, well, this is this kind of thing as well. And then on Friday, more of a straight lecture. These are the other issues that have to do with markets, and especially financial markets. But we start today with just another look at the screens. And as you can see, it was definitely a bear day. Not a hard bear day. This is by no means a black swan. Now, what I mean by a black swan is a really bad, dark, down day. The kind of day where it's clear that something very bad happened and there's a loss of something. I mean, if you say black swan, I want to see 5% down. And as you can see, these are just little percentages down. It's nothing dramatic. As you can see, the Dow was down pretty hard. So there was bad news that hit the markets, and it hit the biggest companies really hard. But actually, overall, all of these are down not too much different from each other, although it seems that the Dow took a really strong hit on today for one reason or another. But there was some bad news, and this gave the bears their chance to have their fun. And the bulls got out of the way. But we'll see in a little bit here that it was actually a low volume day as well. Now, here's crude. As I had told you, crude markets want to get to $100 a barrel. And they're crawling toward it. Here's another dollar up on the day. So that means that you will be seeing gas prices going up at the pump. A few days of this kind of upstroke is going to make those gas prices show more strength, moving toward $4 a gallon. And if you're in Chicago, toward $10 a gallon. But that's a little bit humorous, but not exactly that much. Gas prices are always higher near the big cities than they are out in the countryside. But anyway, going over here, you see that gold and silver had really strong days up. That's not good. That means that the markets were interested in moving toward metals and, of course, toward commodities like oil as well. And you see silver is just took a really good pop up. Boy, I wish I'd bought some futures contracts on silver. That'd be, wow, that would have been great. Just a one-day swing to make 10 grand. On a few hundred dollars of my own money. But anyway, going over here, 10-year bonds. Now remember, price and yield are inversely related, and this is showing you the yield. The yield fell, so the price fell 4 basis points. 1/100th of a point is a basis point. And that means that the price of bonds went up. That means that there was buying in the bond markets. There was buying in the metals market. There was buying in the commodities market. That money was, at least to some extent, coming from selling stocks. So you see a slight flight to quality, moving away from the riskiest thing toward things that are not as risky. These bonds moving up in price means that investors were selling stocks and buying some bonds. Bonds are safer than stocks. And we'll talk a lot about that in this class. And if you go over here, you see the Financial Times. London was mildly positive for the day, but you see that there was a run-up until about the midday, and then the bears took a real hard grab and threw it down. But it still managed to recover, so it had a little bit of a day up. Tokyo, on the other hand, had a good, hard smackdown, and it just went down and down. The Bears were unrelenting over in Tokyo today. The 225 big stocks in the Nikkei 225 were just getting clobbered all day long over there. Now they're all asleep. It's nighttime over there. I think it's still nighttime, yeah. So as you can see, this was not a bull day at all, certainly. But of course, if you are bullish, you don't let this kind of thing bother you. As a matter of fact, I have a guest speaker here to talk to you for a minute. Hi, I'm a bull, and I believe that the bull market is going to last forever. There is no such thing as a bear market. You should put all of your money into the stock market because there is going to be no downside at all. You will make money by buying stocks. That is no bull. Get it? Bull, no bull. There are no bears out there. Don't believe that stuff about bear markets because bears don't exist. Moo? No. Yeah. So you see, just when you think things are okay, that's when the bears come in and tear the bulls' heads off. Let that be a lesson to you. Now, I promise you, this will be the only class you ever have where you have a bull tell you about markets. Moving along. Some of you are saying, WTF. I'm going to go through a few screens with you. Seriously. And we're going to look at more detail on stock markets. And one of the reasons I do this is because this is chapter two. It's one thing to see words in a book or even hear me blabbing my lecture like I'm Socrates or something, speaking the truth. But it's another thing to see this in the action of the markets as they are moving. Now, this market is still alive. It's 51 minutes until the closing bell. So with that in mind, we can look at a few stocks to see what is going on out there. And someone in the last class said Rivian. So I guess I will do Rivian. I mean, it's a strong, it has potential. Don't get me wrong about that. But at the same time, you've got to take that in context. One thing is that Rivian is a brand new company. It just did its IPO a few weeks ago. And so we don't have the data that would be necessary to use technical analysis on it in a lot of ways. This is a difference. You see, there are two kinds of investment analysts. There are technical analysts. They use charts and all these mathematical, pseudo-statistical things to look at the past and say, well, I see a trend upward in this, and I'm using the RSI and MACD and maybe a Darvis box or whatever they use. And we call them elves, E-L-V-E-S, elves. The elves have their way of looking. They look at numbers. They always at charts and historical patterns. The other kinds of analysts are called fundamental analysts. Now, I'm much more of a fundamental analyst. We do look at the numbers, obviously, but we also look at markets themselves. We look at the competitive environment of a company. We look at its management. We look at the global picture, the national picture, the regional picture, this company's markets that it sells its products or services in. And we do this broader look to make recommendations of buy, hold, sell. And it's your call which kind you want to be. Most people start out thinking that if I have enough ginormous computer screens and I buy enough software, I can make me a fortune, by God, as a day trader. Well, we usually have a name for day traders. They're called poor. They, the classic example I got, I have a friend who's a day trader, and he was fussing because he's got like, I think he's got close to 2,000 trades for 2021 that he has to report to the IRS, and he made a profit of like $35 for the year. Well, whatever. Okay, now let's look at Rivian. Now, Rivian might be a company that goes somewhere. There's no question about that. At the same time, my concern, my big concern about Rivian is, you know, is the government ever going to recall vehicles because they're ugly? In which case, Rivian's in trouble. I've seen a couple of their trucks driving around town. Anyway. Okay, now, as you can see, at the closing bell yesterday, the settle price, the last price on a trade for Rivian stock was at $73.16 a share. This morning, it opened up $1.66 or something like that higher. So in other words, in the aftermarket and the pre-market, there were more buys than sells. So at the opening bell, it popped and it showed up on the open at 74.82. And you can see that from there, it actually climbed even more in the first half hour or so of trading. And then the bears took over. Wham! They took it, slapped. The bears tried to come back and the bull said, oh, no, you don't. Down, down, boy. The bulls had a minor rally, but through the rest of the day, it just kind of petered downward. It has been. Now, if you look at this, the day's range is 69.35 to 76.32. That 76.32 happened up there at that peak. The 69.35 happened down here in this trough, and it's trying to find that trough again. If you look at the 52-week range, today was the low. Well, it hasn't been around for 52 weeks. But right now, Rivian has hit its all-time low today. Its all-time high was $179.47. That was a sucker's pump on the IPO. When a stock goes public, a big company, it is not bought by the public. It is bought by an underwriting syndicate who says, we will buy all of your stock to start you out. Here's your money, minus our fees. And then they sell it from their book. First, they make sure that their investment clients get it at the opening price or somewhere near there. And then they pump it on the financial news networks, in the press. Everywhere they can, they hype that stock to drive its price up. And then in the secondary market, they sell it out. That's what happened here. This was that 179.47 was an IPO pump. Now, I said primary and secondary market. That's your first market for the day. The primary market is where the stock is sold by the company. Usually, the entire lot is bought on a firm commitment from an underwriting syndicate. Investment banking companies, IBs, buy it. And then they make sure that their wealthy, powerful clients get some of that candy. And then they pump it up, and then they sell it to mom and pop, to the day traders, to the financial advisors, and all those fools who think, my God, this is incredible. Look at that stock price. And they dump it, and the stock price goes down, down, down to hell. That's how it works. Okay, so the secondary market is where investors buy and sell it from each other. The company has nothing to do. Well, it doesn't have much to do with that at all. That money doesn't go to the company. That's just buyers and sellers trading. Now, if you look at the volume for today, the on-balance volume, is only about half of what it was on an average day over the 52 weeks. Well, it hasn't been 52 weeks. But as you can see, there was a lot of volume in the early days. And today, the volume was only half of that. There's only about 44 minutes left. It might make about 13.5 by the time the bell rings in 45 minutes. But as you can see, there is a lot of not interest. In fact, I was looking at all the markets today, and it was a very shallow day trading. This is trading by the sandbox kids. Buyers and sellers out there, well, I'm going to buy some, I'm going to sell some, and all that. The big dogs were on the sidelines. It looks to me like they were just holding back on this, maybe selling some, shaving their portfolio off. So this light volume is most likely the result of the big players, Wall Street, Chicago, and the other heavy markets, staying out of the way to see what happens next. Market cap. Remember, the market cap is the price per share times the number of shares outstanding. This is the market's assessment of the total value of the ownership of the equity in the company. $61.5 billion for a company that hasn't really sold anything yet. That's just... Now, remember, I told you about beta. There's no beta for this stock yet because it hasn't been around long enough for us to collect enough data to do the mathematics of the beta. Beta measures the volatility of this stock in a well-diversified portfolio. We don't know yet. That's why fundamental analysis is so critical in a case like this, because the technical analysis isn't going to get us anywhere, because we don't have enough data for a technical analysis. PE ratio, I'll explain that in a little bit here, but it doesn't exist for this company because it is not calculated for a company that's losing money. In the case of Rivian, right now, earnings per share is negative $25.37. That means that every share of Rivian has lost $25.37 of company's worth value. That is a lot of blood. That is a stuck pig on the floor of a slaughterhouse. Does that mean that I am going to pee my pants about this? No, because that's earnings. That's accounting profit. I would need to know about cash flow, free cash flow. And that's not shown here. This is amateur hour. These are all numbers, technical numbers. I don't know. That negative $25.37, not surprising for a young company that's going to bleed a lot of money in its early years. That's just a reality of life. You're going to lose money right off the bat. That's why you need a lot of money through your IPO, selling stock, and through selling bonds, in other words, borrowing money, to get you through that period. That's why we do free cash flow analysis, so that we know how much they are going to bleed until they start making money on their own, so that we know how much to raise for them to get them through that negative period, okay? Earnings date, they reported on December 16th. So this is fairly fresh. They reported that they had a huge negative net income. No dividend. Companies early in their lives don't pay dividends. You see, here's how it works. A company makes money at the net income line, profit. Now, there are two things. That means that that's how much is remaining after they have paid all of their bills, because the debt holders have the prior claim to their money. You don't pay the debt holders, they'll just go to court and turn your company off. They can do that. What's left is what the shareholders own. Now, a company can do either of two things. It can take that money and plow it all back into the company to grow the company and theoretically make its stock price go up. Or it can give some of that money to the shareholders as dividends. The more it gives to the shareholders, the less it has to plow back in to the company. It's a trade-off. When I was a consultant for many years, I helped small companies go public and stay public. In some cases, I helped a private company reverse merge into a dead public shell. In some cases, there was one case of a company, they reverse merged this young startup into a company that had existed, had a trading symbol, and was dead. So they already had all these shareholders who thought they'd lost everything, and then suddenly they got this letter from the new control and said, okay, we're here. We're going to make this company come back to life, and your stock may be worth something someday if you say yes to our ownership position. Okay? Well, after a few years, the annual shareholders meeting every year, shareholders come, and they vote on the board of directors, and they have their say. Well, sure enough, the shareholders, after 3 years, I was a consultant by that point, and they had me out there in front of the board of directors to answer the shareholders' questions, and all of them were saying the same thing. Where are our dividends? We bought this stock 30 years ago from that dead company. You said you were going to bring it back to life, and we haven't seen a dividend yet. Where are these dividends? Oh, one after the other. They were just yelling at me. You know, we want some dividends. And I, you know, what am I supposed to do? I have to be diplomatic. There was this one woman. She just kept yelling at me. I want a dividend. We want dividends. We want dividends. And I'm having to be really nice to these people. So I said, look, bitch, you're not going to get a dividend until we put some money, get this company underway. We're making money and we're putting it back into the company so that we don't have to go to the capital markets ever again. They didn't want to understand that young companies don't pay dividends. As a matter of fact, some older companies don't pay a dividend. But if you do, you pay it to show that you're healthy enough to do that. So there's no dividend in this company, Rivian, and there probably won't be for years. Now down here, the one-year target, $134.36 a share is what this analyst says this company's stock will be worth in 1 year. Now, is that a good, do you believe that? Okay, ask yourself this. Whoever gave this projection works for a company called Yahoo. Do you really think that's a reliable way to invest? Well, I'm going to buy this at $69.93 a share, and in 1 year, I'm going to have me $134.36. By God, no. Don't believe those kinds of projections. I mean, I can ask my cat, if the cats were awake, and they could probably give me a projection that would be as believable. That's why you come in. You are taking this course, and you thought, well, God, I have to take this for my major, for business. I'm doing more than that. I'm making it so that you can think for yourselves and do investment analysis and use the terminology and understand the numbers and say, for myself, I have looked at this. I have been taught how to do this rationally. I can make a projection. That's what I'm doing for you. Whether you use it or not is your call, but I am empowering you to be able to make a projection yourself. What's my projection for Rivian in a year? I'm not going to tell you that. You should never believe my investment advice. If I was really an insanely great investment guru, do you think that I would be teaching on Zoom, sitting in a little hovel with cats around me? Well, I still have the cats around me, but you know what I mean, okay? Here's the deal. Have I ever been caught in a pump and dump? No, I'm not stupid. Someone asked me, have you ever done a pump and dump? I've been caught in one. No, I've never been caught in one. I've done them. That was part of what I did. I was a consultant. I had connections to the press release services, and I would pump out, we are on the brink of a disruptive technology breakthrough, or something like that. Or we are seeing profit within the next 3 quarters. I would pump that mother up and to the sky. And then when the insiders were allowed to sell during their windows, well, they would sell and they would get some money, and then I would get myself a paycheck. That's what I did. Back then it was legal. It's still legal, but you just have to be a little more careful these days. You got to understand that in this world, everyone is out to eat you. There's a rule. I tell this rule every semester, and then my students who go out and actually work in brokerage houses, they say, You are not kidding. That's what they all say. The rule is this. The house always wins. Whether the investors, the clients win or not, the house always wins. You don't ever do anything that hurts the house. That's the same way it is in any casino. The casino will always win at the end of the day. Don't ever forget that about anyone who gives you investment advice. I want to make you as cynical. I want to turn you into the cynical bastards that I am. It might take you as long as I, but you'll get there, I hope. Otherwise, I and others like me will be out there to take your lunch money. If that sounds evil, well, yes, I've already got my timeshare set up on the third level of hell. It's in the Bill Clinton condo complex across the Lake of Fire from the Donald Trump golf course and the Barack Obama all-night soiree. Okay? Yeah, it's tough out there. Now, would you like to give me a stock that I would look at that is not a dead animal like Rivian? Anyone got one that you'd like to suggest?
Activision.
ATVI, that's a NASDAQ stock. Now, how do I know that's a NASDAQ stock? Because it's got four letters in the trading symbol. 3, 2, or 1, it's in the big leagues with New York Stock Exchange. But this Activision, well, spank me, Jesus. It didn't go down very much at all. Well, isn't that interesting? Okay, look at this. It closed at 82.31 last night, and then in the aftermarket and pre-market, there was some buy, not much, but it came up to, on the opening bell, it was popped up at 82.64. You see how there was a bull run there at the beginning? There was a little tiny sell-off right at the bell, but then there was a quick bull spike, and then it went to hell. Bulls fought back and forth, bulls, bears. Interestingly, though, there was a quiet period, no news, and then something spooked the market, and the bears got a hold, and it had a run. Bulls grabbed some bargains, what they thought were bargains, but then the bears have grabbed a hold out here. Oh, gee. Okay, that's a nice bid-ask spread. That's only one penny on the bid-ask. So that's a tight bid-ask spread. You would sell it at $82.39 a share. You would buy it at $82.40 a share. Now remember, these are delayed, so that's probably 15, 30, maybe 60 minutes ago. But it's got a tight bid-ask spread. Now the day's range has swung from 81.50, which would probably be that trough right there, up to 83.64. That was this early. And it never saw 83.64. 83.06 again the whole day. It tried to, but it didn't. It just kept testing that, but it never got there again. Now, over the last 52 weeks, it has swung from 56.40 to 104.53. Now, if you look, that 104.53 was almost a year ago. It has never seen that again. That trough down there at 56, it's made it back from that, okay? Now, a little bit of elf talk. Elves love charts. They love to draw on charts. And the elves would say, look at this long downward stroke of descending tops and descending bottoms. Do you see that? If you drew a line, you'd see descending tops and descending bottoms. Well, that would tell me that I would be looking for a low down there, and it never came. So that would be, for an elf, a buy signal. It failed to test the line, the downward lines of the tops and the bottoms. As a matter of fact, this intermediate here, that's rising. So I'd look for it to cross. If it crosses here, somewhere around there, in the next 2 weeks, I'd say that's a buy signal. If I were an elf, a technical analyst, I would say I'm looking for about 91, 92, 90, maybe 90. If it crosses 90, that's a buy. If it tests 90, but it can't get there three times, I say, screw it. FTS, I'm walking away. That's how technical analysts would look at it. One way they would. Okay, now going along here, volume has been big on this one today. Something has gotten the markets all kinds of excited. Overall, the market has been very quiet today. But something is getting this stock all kinds of excited. OBV for the day is maybe about 60% higher than it is over the past year on this stock on a daily basis on average. So something has gotten the market all excited. And so the bears and the bulls are having an active battle on this stock right now. Okay? What does that mean? Hell, I'm going to let the bulls and the bears sort this one out. I'm not going to go near this until I find out what the hell is going on with these bulls and bears. Okay, this beta. Oh, market cap, about $64 billion. Price per share times the number of shares outstanding. Market says the ownership position overall total is about $64 billion on Activision. That's a decent company, decent size. Beta, interestingly enough, on this is 0.7. Remember what I said, beta is the volatility of this stock in a well-diversified portfolio relative to the market itself. So if I have Activision in a well-diversified portfolio, its price swings will be only 70% of the world's markets portfolio. That's a defensive stock. That's a safe stock, for heaven's sakes. Which is kind of surprising. I mean, this is a defensive investment. This is a conservative investment. Now, the P.E. ratio. This is, you take the price per share divided by the earnings per share, which is $3.37. So I would take 8206 divided by 337, and I would get that number. What this tells you is how many dollars investors are willing to pay for $1 of current earnings. Put another way, the investors are saying that every dollar of earnings profit for the shareholders that Activision has just earned, we think will turn into $24.37 for the shareholders. Now, there is a critical mistake in your textbook. The price earnings ratio, the higher it is, the riskier the stock is. The book says it the exact opposite way, which is absolutely false. The one author has no experience whatsoever in actual markets, and he wrote that. Okay. If I see a P.E. ratio that's... Okay, back in my time, we would have said a P.E. ratio of about 15 is a break between not risky and risky. You see, if that price-earnings ratio is like 100... How can a company turn $1 into $100? That's an extremely risky thing. To give you an idea, back during the insane late 1990s, there was a company that had a P.E. ratio of 200,000. In other words, the price was so high that investors were saying they thought $1 of the current company's current earnings, the company was going to turn into $200,000 for the shareholders. Oh, obviously it did. That company just essentially combusted. But I mean, back at that time, you had P.E. ratios 300, 500, 2,000. I mean, it was just insane. No. Right now, and I mean, you'll have different analysts tell you different things. My break is about 30 between, yeah, that's kind of risky, and no, that's not risky. Now, beta is our primary measure of risk. P.E. ratio is a secondary. In this case, do you see that the beta and the P.E. ratio are confirming each other? Safe. This is a relatively safe investment over a long period of time. Now, what does that mean for a shorter period of time? That's another story entirely. Now, the earnings are going to, now look at here, by the way. Notice that this company pays a dividend. 47 cents divided by 82.13 is 57% dividend yield. The dividend is not guaranteed. No guarantee. But it's sort of like, I kind of know that I'm going to get at least 47 cents on this investment. It's like your passbook savings account interest. This 47 cents tells me that whatever else happens to the stock price, at least I'm going to get 47 cents a share. Now, you might think, well, that's stupid. That's nothing. Are you kidding me? 0.5%? That's better than a savings account will get you right now. Ex-dividend, their next dividend. In other words, if you buy it before April 14th, you'll get the dividend, if there is one. Now, like I said, there's no guarantee on that. And again, the target, yeehaw, Finance is saying that the stock will be at $92.27 in exactly 1 year. Take that for what it's worth. How much did you pay for this information? So that's probably what it's worth. I want you to look over here. Their next earnings announcement is what? February the 3rd, in about 3 weeks. Let's look at what their track record has been. The open circle is what they projected their earnings per share would be. And then when they announced the earnings for the previous quarter, that would be the green dot. You notice that in all of these cases, the actual, the actual was better than the projection the company made. So is that going to hold this time? Who's to say? We don't know. That's where fundamental analysis comes in. How is the company doing right now? What's it going to be doing over the next couple of weeks when the earnings announcement comes out? But at the same time, now, if any of you are following me on LinkedIn or you watch my own page, isu-prof.com, you'll see that I have this little section called the quotable professor. There's an old saying among professional investors, professionals. Buy on the rumor, sell on the news. So in other words, if there are rumors that Activision is going to have a good earnings report, I'm going to buy that mother right now. I'm going to buy on that rumor. And then whatever the company says, I don't care what the company says, I'm going to sell that thing right there and then. Buy on the rumors, sell on the news. Because by the time the news comes out, we'll know what's going to happen. And so anything that rumor had is going to be in the price, and then nothing good can come of what it says, unless it's got some insane way above the projection, which is not going to be that likely. Although I have to say, they gave a couple of estimates that were way too high. So then investors thought this one would be way above what they were saying it was going to be. And it wasn't. And the investors at that point got burned because they'd pushed that price up. And then when Activision said, well, we were better than we thought, but not that much, price went boom, through the floor for a little bit. So what do you think here? Professionally, I wouldn't believe a thing about Activision. What it's going to, I'd be doing bear positions on it myself. But that's just me. Yeah. My interest, see, there is that I've got in the chat talk about Microsoft. You see, the rumors are what are going to drive the market. The rumors. And then as the rumors get refined and rational, well, I don't know about that, or even if it's true, what's that going to do for the company? They begin to kick in. The rumors will drive the stock price. And then when news comes out, well, the news is almost like the last thing. The rumors are what makes everything happen. The overall reality of these markets is that they are driven by the moment. Over a long period of time, you will understand where the price will be or where it wants to be. In any given moment, day, week, or even month, it will be over that intrinsic value or it will be under that. If it's over it, you sell. If it's under it, you buy. But you certainly don't think that that is going to be the story of the long run of the company. That's what I teach you in 240. As much as anything else, I'll teach you about short-term trading. But to be a responsible investor for yourself, for your family, for your company, for whatever, you can't be worried about these short-run ups and downs. You have to be worried about that long-term. What are the long-term prospects of Activision? Is it a survivor? Is it a good company? Does it have strong management? Does it have good products? Is it still hungry? Those are the things that will drive it in the long run. In the short run, you see this? These are the swarming sharks grabbing at anything they can, spitting whatever is nasty out of their mouths. And I guarantee you that is no place for beginners to start, because I will pull you back and forth. I guarantee you. I'll find the suckers out there and I will play them, just like all of my professional friends and former students. The house always wins. You remember that. Well, I know this guy and he's really, really good at this stuff. Or my broker is E.F. Hutton. No. Oh, I watched Jim Cramer yesterday. Boy, is he a great guy. He's on TV. Really? Think for yourselves. Now, like I said, there is a cynicism. You have to understand that we are capitalists. We always have been. We always will be. We can put a veneer on it of caring about our shareholders, caring about our employees. If we do well over the long haul, so will everyone around us. That's Adam Smith's basic lesson. He got some things wrong. There's no question about that. But he tried to explain enlightened self-interest. I won't do a good job just for you. But because I do a good job, that will benefit everybody. In the moment, we hate the things like the massive carbon footprint, the pollution, the global climate change that's happening. Yes, it is happening. And we hate what is done sometimes, and the lack of charity, and the genetically modified organisms and all of that. But know this, over the past half century, the world's rate of poverty has collapsed. There's still hunger, there's still war, there's still awful. But it is nothing like it was before the modern age, when capitalism bit in and started to rule the world. Keep that lesson in mind the next time you feel like waving a red flag and saying, go communists, and rooting for Russia and China. we will win in the end, and everyone wins with us when we do it this way. These stock markets are animals. They take from people all the time. But at the same time, this is how we grow, and it hurts. Now, I talked about markets, and I'll say a few words about markets here, and then I'll spend the whole lecture on Friday going on. I talked to you about primary versus secondary. Primary market is when the company sells its stock to raise equity capital, or when it sells bonds to borrow money for debt capital. That's a primary market. The company benefits. The secondary market is what you saw on these screens. That's buyers and sellers selling to each other, seeing where they can find a sucker, where they can find a great investment. The company doesn't really benefit from that. Well, in a kind of a way it does, but that's just greedy people buying and institutions buying and selling from each other, primary versus secondary. Another one that is kind of an important one, spot versus forward markets. Now, the book calls them futures markets, but futures are a kind of forward market. Now, a spot market is where you pay the price at the moment that is prevailing. You go to the gas station, you pay spot for gas. A forward market is where you pay a price that was agreed upon at some time in the past. Give you an example. When I was in oil and gas exploration in Texas, we had these reserve tanks that were storing the oil that we were pulling out of the ground. Now, when the Coquelin truck came around every couple of weeks, we could sell our oil at spot, whatever the prevailing price of that crude oil, like the price you saw there in that screen, we could sell it at that. Or we could make an agreement with Coquelin to get a specific price for each pull of oil from our reserves for 6 months. So that would be a forward price. Now you see the bet was this. Well, geez, if we sell at spot and spot goes up, we make a lot of money. But if it goes down, we get killed. If we pay the if we take the forward price, if the price goes down, well, we still got our forward price. But if the price goes up, we don't benefit. You actually will participate in both kinds of markets. You will buy your cheeseburger at spot, your gasoline at spot, your clothes at spot. But interestingly enough, when you take your first career job, that pay salary is a forward price. You are going to get that for the next 6 months, 1 year, whatever. So you are agreeing. And so if salaries in your profession go up, you don't benefit for 6 months to a year. But if they go down, you got your salary for 6 months to a year. So you will actually actively participate in spot and forward markets your whole lives. Kind of an interesting thing that, and I will talk a lot about these in the next lecture. I'll tell you where forward markets are very popular. And like I said, futures markets are a kind of forward market with very structured contracts and a highly organized clearinghouse. But that's all for the lecture that is coming up on Friday, which will be our last lecture together in Zoom before we meet live next week. But for today, that's all I have for you. And as always, I appreciate you, and I thank you.